Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
We're going to be back in Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to be keying in on verse 9 again today together. And this is the verse. Jesus says, "Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for these women. There is no place I'd rather be than be here with each of them. God, thank you that we can come in your presence here today, that we can read your word together, that we can be encouraged together, we can pray together. We can see who you are together. We love you. And we just pray that you would reveal yourself to us as our Heavenly Father today. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, Shelley shared an amazing message with us, didn't she? It was on our Father. And it was so good. I could just listen to it over and over again about his love for us and his attributes. It was truly incredible. And today, what we're going to key in on is the fact that he's our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now, I don't know about you ladies, if maybe you have a grandchild or a child or a niece or nephew. Have you ever talked to a child about heaven? Well, I love to talk about heaven with our son, who's 6 years old, and I've told you before, he's just the light of our lives, cutest thing, but we love to have conversations. You know, I homeschool, so we talk a lot, and we'll be at the kitchen table, and we'll just say, you know, I wonder what heaven's going to be like one day. I wonder what it's going to be like to see Jesus for the first time, and he'll just say the sweetest things that only a six-year-old would say, and I'll say, honey, what do you think heaven's going to be like? And he'll say, well, I think God's going to be massive, you know? And then this is a six-year-old, so this is what he's thinking, and he'll say things like, I can't wait to give Jesus a hug, you know? Where's the tissues, right? And then he'll say sweet things that, once again, only a six-year-old boy would say. I want a dragon when I get to heaven. You know? He's got all of these visions of what heaven is going to be like. And I love it. And when we go to pray, because we love to pray, and I love to have him pray, because he prayed for this baby. So I know God hears his prayers. And so we'll pray together, and he'll just say the simplest things, and it's so cute. He'll say, God, you're the strongest. You're the mightiest. You can do everything you can do. And he says it just like that, and it's not eloquent, and it's not drawn out, but he knows God is strong. He knows his heavenly Father is in heaven, and that he can do all things. Oh, to have that precious faith of a child, right, when we pray, to have that simplicity. When we get our focus right in prayer as individuals, when we come to God believing that he is our Father in heaven and that he is strong and he is capable of doing all things, it's going to change our perspective. It's going to change our heart. We will see him for who he really is. The creator and the sustainer of all things, and that nothing is too hard for him. So we're going to look at two points together today that's really derived from our lesson this week. And the first one is a heaven-set mind. What does that look like? What does it mean? What's the result of that? So a heaven-set mind and a heavenward heart. So let's look at that first one, a heaven-set mind. And let's just read that verse in Matthew 6 once again together. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I love that Jesus opens up this prayer with those words. Before we get into our requests, before we get into our needs, before we get into desires of our heart, or even before we ask for forgiveness or help in forgiving others, Jesus focuses us in on our Father in heaven. He gets our minds where they need to be first. That he's our Father, and he's holy, and he's awesome, and he's powerful, and he's our God. He focuses us right in. And this is vital, I believe, in our prayers, that we have the right mindset when we go into it. And one of the verses we looked at in our lesson this week was Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let's read that. It should be on the screen for us. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I love how Paul, the author of the book, tells us to set our minds on things above. What does that mean, to set? Well, the definition of it is to direct with fixed attention. To direct with fixed attention. So it's choosing to take your thoughts and to fix them with direct attention on your Father in heaven. It's so vital that we just stop when we come to prayer, before we start going down the list of things, to just stop for a moment and set our minds on our Heavenly Father. I love what R.A. Torrey says about prayer. He says, if we would pray aright, the first thing we should do is to see to it that we really get an audience with God, that we really get into his very presence. Before a word of petition is offered, we should have the definite consciousness that we are talking to God, and should believe that he is listening and that he is going to grant the thing that we ask of him. I love that. He says, before you say a word, get into God's presence. Focus on him. Now, this is so hard for us as humans to focus, to set our minds. We live in such a distracting, oversaturated culture, don't we? Something's always beeping. Something's always buzzing. Something's always going off. We can hardly sit down for a second without letting our minds go or get on our phones. It's so hard not to be distracted. I know for me, sometimes when I go to prayer, sometimes it seems like those distractions are like times 100. Out of nowhere, right? It seems like the enemy just pulls out all the fiery darts. And so maybe some of these sound familiar. You know, you're going to prayer. You actually get up early by a miracle. And you crawl into the kitchen. You get your coffee. And you're ready to just go before the Lord, right? You're ready. You're anticipating. It's quiet. And all of a sudden, your phone rings. Who calls at 5 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. But it happens, and it's the wrong number, right? Or you get a text message, or you close your eyes and you really want to focus, and all of a sudden, as soon as those eyes shut, you're thinking about the dishes in the sink, the laundry in the dryer. You're starting to piece your outfit together for the day in your mind. You're thinking about the exam you have at college next week. All of a sudden, all these things are going on, and you go into prayer, and you, God, thank you for this day. You're holy. God, would you just go before me in this day as I go grocery shopping? Oh, I need milk, eggs. Where's my grocery list? Let me write it down. I'm going to forget, right? Or you answer that text message. You say, hold on, God. Let me just answer this real quick. And 5 hours later, we forgot to go back to prayer. Right? Because then we went on Instagram, and then we had to check Pinterest, and then oops, we got an email, and then the baby woke up. And it's all over. Right? And then the day goes by, and we just think, oh, I missed it again. And sometimes it's distractions, and sometimes it's just being in a hurry, being rushed all the time to this thing, to that thing, gotta go here, gotta do this, gotta get that done. And maybe some of you might be thinking, Mary, you don't know my life. I've got a job, I go to college, I've got children, I have to drop them off at school, I've got a million things I have to do, I've got to get to work, all of these things, and I don't have time to just sit down for a moment and be still. All I have time to do is give God my requests and go. But if that's our attitude in prayer, we are missing so much. We are missing our Heavenly Father and that deep connection. R.A. Torrey goes on again to say, we're too busy to pray, and so we're too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. Many services, but few conversions. Much machinery, but few results. Oswald Chambers says, the battle of prayer is against two things in the earthlies: wandering thoughts and lack of intimacy with God's character as revealed in his word. Neither can be cured at once, but they can be cured by discipline. I love those quotes because it's so true, right? The battle is against those things: wandering thoughts, not having that intimacy with who God really is, the busyness, everything that distracts us. He says it takes discipline. You've got to be ready for it. You have to know that when you're going to go to that place of prayer, that the enemy's going to be there waiting with the attacks and the distractions. And don't be surprised when your phone rings. Don't be surprised when the baby wakes up. Don't be surprised when you start thinking about everything that's going on. Don't let it take you by surprise. Say, no, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to be disciplined. It amazes me how we can be so disciplined in certain areas of our life. None of us likes discipline, right? But we can be so disciplined to work out, to exercise, and that's a good thing. We can be so disciplined to do various things, you know, for our health or for other things, you know, to study and all of these things. But when it comes to prayer, we're like, meh, I don't feel like it. I'm too distracted. We'll come back to it later. Discipline is never an easy thing. But above exercise and all those other things that we're committed to, prayer is the most important thing. And if one of those other things has to go so that we have time to pray, then get rid of it and focus in on your Father in heaven. But what exactly does it look like to set our minds on our Heavenly Father? What does it look like? Well, I know for me lately, especially in the last couple of weeks, as we've been going over this, I've been really trying to just take a minute to just be quiet. Get down to prayer and just stop. Because it's just such a temptation for me to just instant, oh God, and just start rambling. But just to stop for 1 minute and even just sing a worship song. One of your favorite worship songs, like the one we just sang, it's my favorite. And sometimes I'll just sing a song to God. But we have a few pictures in scripture of the scene in heaven. And this really helps when we get down to that place of prayer to picture the scene in heaven, to picture what our Heavenly Father looks like, and just to focus on that in that moment, to focus on the scene and what's going on. And even though we can't see it, the Bible gives us some glimpses. So let's look at two of those glimpses. One of them is in the book of Isaiah, and I'm just going to read it to you. It's when Isaiah has a vision of heaven, and it's in chapter 6 of Isaiah, and he describes the vision that he saw. Starting in verse 1, he says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What an incredible scene that is. Think about that. God's robe is filling the temple. He is huge, as my son says. He's bigger than we can imagine. The angels are flying around saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We see trembling foundations. We know about that because we have earthquakes here. So imagine an earthquake and smoke. This is incredible. And Isaiah is so overwhelmed, he cries out, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm ruined. I can't even handle this. Incredible. In Revelation, we see yet another picture of the future of heaven. And it's John, the author of Revelation, describes it to us in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm just going to pick out a couple of the things that he sees in this vision. He says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting on the throne was like a jasper stone, like a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. He goes on to say that out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. He goes on to say that there's living creatures, and they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty God, who was and who is and who is to come. Amazing. A rainbow around the throne. Peals of thunder. Lightning. That's incredible. That's overwhelming. When we come to prayer, stop. Picture your Father in heaven. Think about his might, his glory, his power. I love to sometimes sing that song, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know that one? It's kind of an oldie, but it's a goodie. Sing it. I see the Lord seated on the throne. That one? Take time to worship the Lord. Andrew Murray says, each time before you intercede, be quiet first and worship God in his glory. Think of what he can do and how he delights to hear the prayers of his redeemed people. Think of your place and privilege in Christ and expect great things. Be quiet. Worship God in his glory. Expect great things. I know for myself that when I come to prayer, I so often forget that my Heavenly Father is also my God. God, the one true only living God who breathed life into dust, who parted the Red Sea, who gave dry bones life, who raised the dead, who created the earth, the universe, everything we see in 6 short days. He is God. He said, no one can see my face. That's how awesome he is. I love what David says when he describes God in Psalm 29. And I'll just read you a couple of things he says in Psalm 29. He says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over many waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. It is powerful. He says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. He says, the voice of the Lord strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. Wow, what a mighty God we have. His voice shakes the wilderness. It strips it bare. It divides fire. It makes the deer give birth. Wow. Incredible. I love that song we used to sing in Sunday school. It just popped in my head as I was going over this. And I don't know if any of you remember it, but do you remember? Our God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. Do you remember that? We knew it as children. We were taught this as children. There's nothing our God cannot do. So how does it help to have this mindset? What's going to be the result of it when we have this heaven-set mind? Well, I believe it's going to do 2 things. I think the first thing that it's going to do is that all of our fears, all of our anxieties, everything that we're burdened with is just going to melt away. It's going to melt away because when we see the mighty power of our Father for who he really is, we'll realize that there's nothing too big. There's nothing too scary. There's nothing so huge that you're going through right now that he can't take care of it, that he can't handle it. He wants to carry those burdens on his strong, mighty shoulders. Those big things just don't seem that big anymore in comparison to God's glory. And ladies, whatever you've come in here with today, we all have those burdens, those things that we come to God in prayer. And maybe some of us are just desperate for something today. And maybe for you, it's a financial difficulty and you just don't know how it's going to work out. And God says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. He says that he will give us all of the things that we need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will provide for you. It's not too hard for him. Maybe it's for a prodigal child and you think there's just no way they're ever going to come back. And God says, I made them. I created them in their mother's womb, in your womb. I know them better than you do, and I love them more than you do. He's going to pursue them. He will follow after them. You remember what Shelley mentioned last week about the prodigal child and the loving father? Oh, he's not going to give up on them. He's going to pursue them. Maybe it's a sickness you've been battling with. Is anything too big for God? He heals, and he still heals today. Nothing is too hard for him. I love that verse that Shelley quoted last week. It's me and my son's favorite, Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you created the heavens and the earth by your great power, by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. And God goes on later in that chapter to ask. He says, is there anything too hard for me? No, God. There is nothing too hard for you. Maybe for it's a desire of your heart. Maybe you want a husband. You're not married and you're just praying and waiting. It seems like it's taking forever. Or maybe you desire to have a child and it just hasn't happened. God knows the desires of your heart. He's a good father and he gives good gifts. And he can do it according to his will in your life. The bottom line, ladies, is that our God is in heaven and he can do anything. And when you come to prayer with that mindset, with all of your burdens, with all of your fears, with all of your worries, they're just going to melt away when you vision him for who he is. The second thing I think it's going to do is it's going to cause us to have a greater trust in our Heavenly Father, a greater trust, knowing that he's more than able to take care of whatever's going on. The definition of trust is firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. For us, that someone is God, isn't it? I love Isaiah 26:3-4. It says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. We can trust him. There will be so many times, like I said, I'll come to prayer. And me and my son, we love to pray together. And I'll just be in a fluster. There's a huge prayer request. Maybe somebody sent me one through text. Maybe it's a prayer request that's on my own heart. Maybe it's for the baby. Maybe it's for something else. And I'm just burdened. And I'll come to my son and I'll say, oh, son, we've got to pray. We've got to pray for this, this, and this. It's huge. Oh, we need to ask God for this, 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 and this. And I'll just be worked up. I'll be worked up. And he'll say, Mommy, let's pray. And we'll close our eyes and he'll just say the simplest prayer. God, you're great. You can heal. Help this person. Amen. It's so simple. He doesn't drag it out. You know, prayer doesn't always have to be this tumult of emotion and dragged on and on. There is times for that, and we need to pray like that. But sometimes we just have to trust him and let all of our fears go and know that he's in charge. We can trust him. And when we have that confident trust in our Father, knowing that he's able, that he can do it, it's going to help us trust him when he gives us the different answers. It's going to help us trust him when he says no. Because in Isaiah 55:8-9, our Father says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We'll trust him when he says no. Because we'll know he has something different, maybe something better that we can't even picture. We'll trust him when the answer is wait And nobody wants to hear wait, right? But we'll trust him. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. God's not keeping you waiting for no reason, just to draw it out or, you know, put you through pain. He's got a plan. He's working it out. You can trust him. We can trust him when the answer is yes. I love Psalm 66. It says, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. He has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. Well, trust him. So why is it so important that we have this heaven-set mind? We see how to have it and what the results are, but why is it so important? Because I believe as we have that heaven-set mind in prayer, it will lead to our second point, which is a heavenward heart. It will lead to a heavenward heart. I don't know about you, but when my mind is set in the right place, my heart follows along. But when my mind is all over the place, and I'm here, there, and everywhere, worried, fretting, you know, going crazy, not trusting the Lord, my heart's doing the same thing, right? The Bible tells us that our heart is desperately sick, and wherever our mind is going to go, that's where our heart's going to go. So if your thoughts are all over the place, your heart's going to be all over the place. But when we have our heart and our mind set on Christ, our heart is going to be set on heaven as well. We will begin to have a heart that is looking forward to heaven, that isn't so bogged down to the day-to-day things of life, but a heart that is looking forward to being with our Heavenly Father one day and seeing him face to face. It won't be as worried. It won't be as anxious. It won't be as overwhelmed. It'll be set on heaven. I love what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Doesn't that get your heart excited? Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be bogged down. Think about heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right now, ladies, God has a place for us in heaven. Our Heavenly Father has a place for us, and he's preparing it, and he's getting it ready. There's many rooms for us that have received Jesus as our Savior. This isn't it. That brings my heart such joy. It gets me so excited, and everything else that I could be so worried about and so consumed with just melts away. It puts my heart in the right place. In our lesson, we looked at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 4. Do you remember that? And it gave us another picture of what heaven's going to be like in the future. And it's beautiful and it's magnificent. It's incredible. We just get a small glimpse here. It's going to be so much more amazing than that. But I love what D.L. Moody says about heaven. He says, no, it is not the jasper walls and the pearly gates that are going to make heaven attractive. It is the being with God. I love that. It's going to be beautiful and it's going to be gorgeous, but the best part of it is going to be we're going to be with our Heavenly Father face to face. Think about that for a second. We're going to see him. We're going to see him with our own eyes. We're going to be loved by him and love him for eternity. We're going to be able to worship him in the beauty of his glory and his holiness. We're going to be with him forever. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon. I believe that. We have so much to look forward to. And these are not just bedtime stories. These are not just fairy tales. The stories are true. The word of God is true. We're going to be with our Father. And maybe some of us here today have kind of lost track, and our minds have been all over the place, and our hearts have been all over the place, and we just need to reset. We need to reset our mind and our hearts in prayer. And how do we do that? Well, prayer is the great reset button. And I just want to encourage all of you ladies, today, when you get home, maybe when you're in your car, on the way to work, whatever you have to do today, just take a moment, even if it's just a minute, and would you just stop? Would you be quiet? Would you just think about these things that we've read in Scripture today? Would you think about how great and mighty and awesome and amazing your Father is? And just worship Him for just a moment. Let's reset our minds together to focus on heaven. And our hearts are going to follow along. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just want to quiet our hearts before you, God, and we do just want to worship you in your holiness. You are awesome and holy, and you are so worthy of our praise. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. Thank you that nothing we come to you with is too big, too huge, or too scary. You can do all things. God, we love you and we ask that you would help us to set our hearts and our minds on you today and every day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.